You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has opened its doors on the second day of the trading week, so it's time for the opening with Greg Davies, Chief Trader at Kratos Capital. Greg, we're 35 minutes into the session. Let's have a look at the first set of results on the Stock Exchange News Service, please. A small bank called Absa Group Limited and the unaudited interim results for the period ending 30th of June. First of all, the share price.
Yeah, the share's down 0.25%, 147.95. I suppose if you look at the banking index today, it's down 0.5%. So it's performing better than its peers right now. Doesn't look like a bad set of numbers. I mean, I think it puts it on a PE of 7, but this is the new normal for banks these days. Nobody wants to own them even down at these levels.
Mm. It says the following: we are an African group inspired by the people we serve and determined to be a group that is globally respected and that Africa can be proud of. We are committed to finding local solutions to uniquely local challenges, and everything we do focuses on adding value. And it goes on with all that sort of blurb now. And then when you get to the numbers, total income increased by 5%. Headline earnings per ordinary share increased by 5%. Yeah. Normalized. Yeah. It's IFRS and normalized and everything else. Anyway, the numbers are pedestrian, Greg.
Yeah, there's nothing here to get the market that excited, really. But I suppose expectations were fairly low. We'd seen the Nedbank and Standard Bank last week. Standard Bank a bit better than Nedbank, but everyone had quite a sort of negative outlook. No one's really sort of crowing and saying, look how well we've done really at this point in the banking space.
No, indeed. Share price, as you say, a slight outperformer given the rest of the index. I'm just trying to find the outlook statement. I always like to go to the outlook statement, but I can't seem to find it, Greg. Have you got it there? Maybe I'm looking at the wrong list. There's two different results, the group and the bank.
It might be on a separate scene, so.
Okay. Well, anyway, we'll talk about that in greater detail on the 5 o'clock shadow with David Shapiro, because it's Tuesday, of course. What else have we got? British American Tobacco notifications, withdrawal of cautionary announcement from Peregrine. You know Peregrine very well. What's happening there? It's down 7.5% suddenly.
Yeah. Well, I think the expectation was, with these cautionaries where they never give further details, but you should imagine it would be some sort of management buyout, because it was obviously cautioning on Peregrine, but on none of its peers. So if there was going to be some relationship to another listed company, then they both would have been under caution. So people are thinking it was something internal, perhaps, they couldn't raise the money or they couldn't agree a price. And it had held the share price up quite strongly, but I think people disappointed that nothing was consummated there. Rallied a little bit down 6%, 17 rand 65. It did pay a 1 rand dividend end of last month. So it's been a reasonable performer in quite a difficult space.
Let's have a look at these spot markets if we can. 15.35 is the dollar rand. It was 15.25 about an hour and a half ago. A British pound against the rand is 18.51 and the euro rand is 17.18, with the euro dollar 111.91. The dollar stronger again this morning by 0.2%. Doesn't sound much, but it does have an influence on things like gold. But gold has gone quite nicely again. It's up $13 overnight to $15.25 an ounce. The platinum price is $8.65. Palladium, over to you, Greg.
Yes, up $10, $14.43. So doing its part in that PGM basket.
$58.40 is the Brent crude oil price, which is down 14 cents per barrel. Now, I scroll up to what happened last night. I was watching the Dow and the S&P, and suddenly hit some short-term support levels, broke through them, and then down we came. The S&P was down 35.5 points. The Dow Jones down 390 points to 25,897. We've got a very major, bounce back on the Dow. Futures up around about 15 points, but it looks actually quite shaky, and that shakiness has transferred itself to the Far East. Tokyo down 1.1%, Shanghai down 2/3, and the Hang Seng, goodness me, down 2.1%. What's going on there? Another day of chaos at the airport, which doesn't do this territory any favours at all.
Yeah, I mean, there's some talk there. I mean, obviously, that is, for me, those are the two, the Hong Kong situation that's weighing on the market. Also, the Argentinian market, something like 30% down yesterday.
Yes.
But in Hong Kong, the concern is if at some point when the Chinese authorities send in some troops, and then you could have an exodus of capital. At the moment, I think the Hong Kong dollar is pegged to the US dollar, but that peg could break, and I think that's what's worrying the market there a little bit.
The most extraordinary thing, actually, in Argentina, when I saw the Argentina story coming through, I mean, David Shapiro spoke to me about it yesterday, and I didn't pay much attention to it because the conservative leader of Argentina lost a primary election, and he lost it quite badly against all the odds. And then suddenly the Argentinian peso went into freefall, and Argentina's stock market lost 48%. Greg, 48%. Mm-hmm. Headline in Bloomberg's, Argentina's 48% stock rout, second biggest in the past 70 years. Only Sri Lanka has suffered a worse single-day drop since 1950. South American nation endured a similar one-day sell-off in 2002. But goodness me, this is massive news. I'm surprised the rand is where it is after that.
That's one of those where they, you see those memes where they say, yeah, hold my beer. And we, you know, the Argentinians have shown us what can happen. And my understanding, just a brief understanding of what's happening there, a politician that was caught in corruption was put in jail, was released from jail. He's now beat this incumbent now. So it's almost as if, you know, the populists are back in power, that the market's completely freaked out, and probably right to be so. But you just look at some of those stocks. I mean, even the oil stocks there, down 30-35%. So it's a proper rout. And, so a warning to, I think, to two sort of countries which are going populist, this is how the way the market will treat you.
Yeah, so if the same thing happened to the JSE, for example, we'd be down, what, about 26,000 points, something like that.
Yeah, but it would look, I mean, you should imagine, I'm sure they probably have as well, but we've obviously got the circuit breakers, so it fell, I think, 2,500 points to close the market for 15 minutes. So it would take us the whole day, but we could do it.
Yeah, I don't think they've got circuit breakers in Argentina. Anyway, it's payback time for what Maradona did with the hand of God when Peter Shilton came out to punch the ball, and he just, yeah, exactly. Never forgive
them. And the Falklands, yeah. Yeah, you can forgive them for that. And we beat them at rugby, yeah.
Yes, exactly. What was it, 42-16 or something? Can't remember.
It was a rugby lesson, yeah.
Yes, exactly. Greg, the top five major moves to the upside and the downside. Now, I did get an email from somebody via strictlybusinesspodcast.com saying that we focus, in general terms, saying I, and with you as a collaborator, focus a little bit too much on the negatives. So today we're going to start with the positives. And put a bit of enthusiasm in your voice, if you would, Greg. I can see cap up 1.25%.
Yeah, I'm just having a little trouble with my screen. It doesn't seem to be... Give us the top five and I'll give a little bit of background on there.
Yeah, you see, people don't want bullish news. Cap up 1.25%. South 32 up 0.8%. MC Group up 0.7%. Sibania is 0.5% winner. And AVI has gained to the tune of 0.33%. Any news there?
I mean, yeah, I think the most interesting there is the multi-choice. And, I mean, we're talking about foreign investors leaving the local market. But if you look at the stats, which I look at every day, the top five most bought shares by foreigners, multi-choice is always on that list. So it's almost a sort of a Netflix of Africa, really, the way the overseas investors are looking at it. And, you know, that's encouraging to see that we have created a business. Obviously, it's spun out of NASPAS, but that's attracting the interest of foreign investors.
Speaking of NASPAS, Tencent and Alibaba are reporting this week. What day is Tencent? You mentioned it yesterday. What day is it this week?
It'll be tomorrow, but it'll be after the Hong Kong close at around about 11:30.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's going to be very, very interesting now.
All right. Unfortunately, we do have to go to the negatives. Pulse Prop is down 3.5%. Capco down 2.3%. Hammerson down 2.2%. Motus has lost 1.9% so far. And Investec Properties down 1.9%. Yeah, property companies there.
Yeah, property theme. And just that Capco and the Hammerson's UK facing. Still getting a lot of calls from clients that are really concerned about what's going to happen with Brexit. I mean, the trajectory which we're on now is hard Brexit, the 31st October. And, you know, that I think that's worrying people which are invested in the UK. We just don't know the unintended consequences of that particular plan or lack of plan.
Yeah, I'm talking about Brexit. I noticed that Boris Johnson, that's right, yes. He met with John Bolton, I think it was, yesterday, who's the National Security Advisor. And Bolton's saying to him, you're top of the list. We fully support Brexit. Please. You don't know anything about it, first of all. And number two, you're going to be top of the list for a trade deal. Now, why is a security advisor talking about trade to Boris Johnson? I don't understand it.
Got a WhatsApp from the Donald and said, listen, tell that Boris, don't worry,
we got your back on this one. Yes. And you just carry on. I suppose if that's what will happen, the UK will sort of form a stronger alliance with the US probably. It must be their strategy. You know, it's nobody speaks about it anymore. It's been back in, but when the Brexit was going to be happening, there was a lot of refugees coming in from the Middle East into Europe.
Yes.
And one of the reasons given was that they wanted out of the EU is they thought the country was a bit overfull. But there's no talk of that anymore. It's just gone off the headlines.
Greg, talking about headlines, the headlines were all about Aspen and Discovery yesterday. And although this is negative, we have to talk about it because the truth sometimes hurts. Greg, the Macquarie report that we referenced yesterday, you got a copy of it. What does it say in a nutshell?
Yeah, I mean, to summarize really what they're saying is the Discovery's projections for mortality rates, in other words, when they're going to have to pay out these life policies, they think that there isn't enough provision made. I think speaking to someone who knows the Discovery products is where they're not comparable to their competitors is Discovery has got a lot of vitality. It's got a lot of health data on their clients, and so they're able to project differently on when those payouts will happen because they're aware of the client's health status, where your liberties and so on are not. So a little bit of a semantic argument. Apparently, it's a drum that's been beaten for quite some time by Macquarie and mostly ignored by the Discovery share price and the Discovery investors. And now the spotlight's on it a little bit. The share price today, 105.27, looking like it's down 70 cents, but it looking like it could have an update today. Overall, I think it's probably a buying opportunity. We've got to be positive here.
Yes.
I'm sure Discovery are on top of this. The results are the first week of September, but a trading update would give the market some comfort at this point. We don't need an earnings miss, but certainly, just an inline set of numbers for September brings some confidence back into the counter.
If you've got good news, Greg, you normally want to put it out there, don't you? I mean, it's the Donald Trump syndrome. Donald Trump will not have his academic results released because they're obviously appalling. If they were good, he'd put them out there. It'd be on the front page of a mock-up of Time magazine or something. When I spoke to the CEO, or rather sent a message to the CEO of Adrian Gore, and he's always very, very good at getting back to me, even if it's a negative to whatever question I've got, he'll always say, no, sorry, Lindsay, I can't, but I hope you're well, all that sort of thing, and will you please reinstate your policy, something like that. But yesterday, I got absolutely nothing. Deafening silence. So maybe he's probably under pressure talking to asset managers.
Yeah, you should imagine they probably maybe said, listen, don't sort of give out too much. Let's get a coordinated story here together, and we'll talk to the Lindsay Williamses and the Greg Davies of the world once we've got our stall all set up correctly, and we can answer each question. But it is unusual because I think I've got a few friends that are often WhatsApping him, and one thing, he's reliable on those replies.
Mm. Greg, let's conclude this conversation with the JSE indices as they currently stand, please.
Yes. Well, I mean, trying to put a positive spin, we were sort of 4,500 down at the opening. We've rallied to just 340 down. So it's a bit of buying coming in.
Shall I put some cheerful whistling in the background here while you're giving us the positivity?
That's Ronnie's just hanging up the washing. Banks down 0.43, financials down 0.5%, industrials down 0.5%, retailers down 0.75%. Gold index is actually down slightly, even with a better gold price, probably a little bit of profit taking, down 0.19. The Platts down 0.33%, the resources down 0.47. So that leaves the all share down 0.62, 342 points lower, 55,030. So just keeping our heads above that 55,000. I think that might be quite a sort of key support level.
Let's hope so. The S&P was up around about 7 points 2 hours ago. It's now down 8 and a bit, coming up to yesterday's real session lows. Greg Davies is the chief trader at Kratos Capital. That was the opening. He'll be back with me and David Shapiro for the 5 o'clock shadow, probably around about 5:45. That podcast was proudly brought to you in association with sharenet.co.za. Visit strictlybusinesspodcast.com and subscribe to receive exclusive content straight to your inbox.